And Jason Ross in for Grant Napier. Doug Christie here as always. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. Our thanks to James Hamm joining us last hour. Coming up 1 hour from now, we talk with Garrett Temple. What's it like to see a fallen teammate? Doug, you know it. It sucks. Yeah. I mean, then there's no – I mean, that's where – you know, I've covered this team for 20 plus years. I wanted you guys to win every game by 100. But my heart hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know Rudy like as a like a close friend or something like that. But I'm like, that sucks.
Yeah,
that was brutal.
I feel bad. I wanted to run back to the locker room and say something to him.
But give
that's
him a hug.
Like totally not my place.
Yeah.
And you know, I have to stay in my lane. And but I just was like, oh. Man, like right now, he needed to hear you can do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can do it, man. Because at that moment, I can remember when it happened to me, and I'm just like laying there going, I don't even really know. Your mind goes blank, but there's a million things going through your mind at the same time. And you're thinking all the hard work and different stuff. It's just a really tough, dark place.
So we'll talk with Garrett Temple about that. We got to get football conversation, too. 5:30, Eric Adelson, NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, will join us. So we look forward to that. But it is coming down right now as we speak. The All-Star starters being announced. We're going to start with the East. And, again, these are the guys that were either voted by fans, combination of that, 50% that, 25% coaches, 25% media, or players, excuse me, and then media. Kyrie Irving. You got DeMar DeRozan.
Okay.
Jimmy Butler making his third All-Star appearance.
Okay.
King James, his 13th. And the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. His first. How about that? His first, and he's starting. I love it. He's having an awesome year.
Yeah, he has absolutely stepped onto the scene. And, you know, Grant and I have this conversation about big guys, and he is a big guy, regardless that he's a little bit light in the pants. But the point is that big guys who are extremely skilled like a guard, that's different than your normal big guy. Great for him. I was hoping to see IT on there.
It's coming.
It is. And I was really hoping that he got a starter. But the fact that he will be an All-Star again is fantastic. But you cannot argue with Kyrie Irving because the local dance instructor in Cleveland there, he's a piece of work.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. So they've got two Cavs. You got a Raptor. You got a Milwaukee Buck and a Chicago Bull. So that's the Eastern Conference. The Western Conference starters. It's going to be confirmed here in a moment. James Harden, Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis. It's tough to argue that, but the biggest omission is Russell Westbrook.
Blasphemous, I tell you. Blasphemous.
Yeah.
He's averaging a triple-double.
Now, he'll be on the team. But,
yes.
And I don't know if there's any... Like before when it was just fans voting, I don't know if it – now there's a little bit more to it, but mm-hmm. DeMarcus is going to make it. Would it mean more to him to be voted in?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, this is another way you can literally say you earned it because in the past, I mean, Zaza almost made it. Or Yao Ming would always make it, and he was a good player, but I'm a Hall of Fame player. Obviously, I shouldn't disrespect him in that way. But where you go, some guys are just getting votes, and if you get named as a reserve, you've earned it.
Yes, you have, but do you go AD over Cuz? I watch Cuz on a night-to-night basis, so I'm going to be a little bit more biased probably towards him than AD. I'd have to look. I guess the numbers don't serve everything. I'm not sure what they are, but, you know, you can't argue with AD either because he's Antetokounmpo with a little bit more skill.
Yeah.
That's really what he is, and that's saying a lot. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're going to fill out the rest of the who we think should make it, the other seven, when those are named, not today, but next week. Let's check in with Eric, talking All-Star. Eric, welcome into Sports 1140 KHDK.
Hey, guys. Hey, Doug. Hey, Jason. Hey, the All-Star games and all the sports, I mean, like, I think Jason said it perfectly, in my opinion, a second ago. If you get named to the reserves, that still means you're getting named as opposed to, like, you know, Grant always used to say, you know, a couple of years ago when – Cousins. Oh, well, Cousins is an All-Star. No, Cousins wasn't an All-Star. I'm going to argue that. His first All-Star game was like when like three guys got hurt and they finally got him on there. He wasn't named to an All-Star team. He's like, hey, we need you because guys are hurt. Now he's going to be named as a reserve, and rightly so. that's earned. I don't know how the voting works, and I'm confused. I do
so
like, I'm one of the people that does like the fan voting guys. I know as players, they probably hate it. I understand why. But if you're going to have fan voting, Jason, I don't like this new system where, like, now they take the fan voting out of your hands. We're like, oh, you can vote, but it's only worth a quarter of the vote or something. It's like, well, then why do – because, like, Zaza Pachulia, I understand he doesn't belong in the All-Star team.
That's why. We're protecting us from the fans.
Because the whole country of Georgia votes for him.
Because it's going to be changed anyway. The media and the coaches or whoever's doing it is going to change it anyway. So there's really no reason to have the fan voting. And, Doug, to your point, say the reason I really called, you said Westbrook not being a starter is a joke. What a joke. Absolutely not a joke. Harden is probably going to win the MVP. He's the Vegas favorite, having an amazing year.
Okay, hold on. Who's the second?
Second what?
In MVP voting right now, in your opinion.
This was not my opinion. This is a fact. It's actually Vegas. Oh. You could bet sportsbook.
Okay, well, and that doesn't make it.
Well, who's
a fact.
Second, though?
That's all that matters.
I got you. So who's second?
What's that? I believe it's Russell Westbrook.
Exactly. So you're going to tell
exactly.
me that he shouldn't
first,
be the backcourt then?
Steph Curry is the starting point guard and one of those popular players in the NBA.
See, there you go with popularity. We're not talking about popularity, and I think that Steph should start as well. No, that's when the fans vote. It's popularity. That's how Yao Ming got, because the whole country of China voted him in.
No, that's not popularity. That's literally just a Chinese person that was famous over there. That's different than popularity. I'm talking about basketball popularity. Steph Curry is extremely popular.
He is.
Players, coaches, and basketball. He won. And when are we going to – this is not just
triple
basketball, guys.
Triple-double.
Yeah.
What's that?
Triple-double. He's averaging a triple-double.
73 wins.
That's last year. You're talking about last year. We're talking about this year. We're talking about this year, not last year, this year.
Why not? Why is it that it only matters the first 3 months of this year?
Well, I agree with that.
The All-Star game is the midway point of the season. Mm-hmm. Why don't we count essentially – from last All-Star game until this All-Star game.
Well, guys could change teams. Yeah. There are a lot of different factors that you'd have to put in there, Eric. I appreciate your call, though. That was some good stuff.
Because I think even last year, if I remember right, Lillard, I don't think made it, but then made it on one of the All-NBA teams.
Yeah.
And that seems a little weird. So by the end, the body of work, he's an All-NBA player, but he's not in the All-Star game.
Yeah, because, to Eric's point, I wish he was still on the line, because you can't tell me the two guys that are ahead in MVP voting aren't starters on the All-Star team.
Yeah.
I don't care how good somebody is. That just in and of itself just doesn't even make sense. But then at the same time, Steph Curry is an incredible, incredible player, and their team is second in wins or first in wins in the NBA right now. So it's tough.
So if we assume that's the five, which it's going to be confirmed here in a moment, Westbrook's in for sure, right, as a sixth or whatever.
Yes.
Cousins?
Yes.
100%. Yeah, I'm agreeing.
I'm going to say yes.
Who else, though? If you look at the Western Conference, I'm going to go back to the Warriors then, Doug, because to Eric's point, they are great last year. They're great this year, 36-6. Do you add Klay and Draymond? They both were there last year. Are they both back again?
Well,
so then you'd have four Warriors, which is fine. You can.
I would have to say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really would. Their team is absolutely special. Draymond, he would get in based upon, like Eric was just saying, his work from last year, mm-hmm. and what they did, because his numbers are extremely down. If you're going to go by numbers, the numbers don't say, but the wins and what he brings to the team puts him in that caliber. Klay, obviously, at 21 points or whatever it is a game, and just an incredible shooter. So four from that team, can't really argue with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And if Zaza had made it, we might have had five, which was scary. Then you start to look at now we've made Klay, Draymond, Cousins, and Westbrook. That's nine, only three more spots, which is amazing amongst all the other teams. Spurs have a great record, but I don't know that there's another All-Star. Aldridge has been one. His numbers aren't as good this year.
Mm-hmm.
Houston's having a great year, but it feels like it's just James Harden.
It is.
Okay. Now, I don't know how they'll handle this. Chris Paul is playing amazing, amazing basketball. He might get named, and then they say, they'll get a replacement for him later because he's been an all-star.
So could you go with DeAndre Jordan from his team?
Possibly. Then that's another big.
Yeah.
Utah, not a star-laden team, but there they are. I mean, once they've gotten healthy, this team is really cooking. They're up to five. They might pass the Clippers due to the injuries there. Gordon Hayward's having a nice season.
Yeah. Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, he's – oh, man, another big.
Yeah, I mean, as much as they took the center position or whatever they did out of All-Star voting, I mean, there are some really good, talented bigs who are making a difference. Now, he isn't the big like DeMarcus and AD and those guys. He comes with the defensive presence and all of that, kind of like your Ben Wallace type of player. Different, but you know, the same type of impact.
And then if we're going another big, Memphis, I mean, could it be Gasol? He's always good. He's always been an All-Star.
Yeah.
Or not always, but he's been an All-Star before.
You could say no one from the Suns, no one from the Lakers. Timberwolves, maybe Cat.
Mm-hmm.
He has some serious numbers. No one from the Mavericks. Pelicans, Kings, yes. What about the backcourt of the Trailblazers?
Yeah, you know, Lillard missed some time. McCollum's having a really good year.
Man, he is one heck of a player.
Yeah.
Man. Ooh, man, I talk about to my son about watching him because both of those guys, you know, they Joe Dumars-ish, mm-hmm. you know, D up, knock down your shots, nice little face on you, not saying too much. You don't know if they're mad or not.
Yeah, I can't tell.
And just play extremely the mid-range game, the floaters, every aspect of the game, just quality basketball players. McCullough's playing really good.
You know, I was thinking of it as you said it earlier about the bigs in the league. And there, you know, we throw out the blanket statement, DeMarcus Cousins, best big man in the league. Whether he is, whether he's not, whatever, he's on the list. But if we put DeMarcus there, we put Anthony Davis there,
Different
kind of guys like Drummond, Embiid, Karl Anthony Towns. Let me see who Hassan Whiteside. I'm gonna put that whole group out
there.
Gobert, yeah. With the exception of Gobert, I'm gonna take him out for 1 second.
Yeah,
all those guys are losing.
Yeah,
why is that?
Well, you gotta say and you gotta know that it would be, you know, a guard dominated league. So when you look at, for instance, Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
And he had both guards, Tyreek and I can't think of the other guy.
Drew Holiday.
Drew Holiday out. They were really losing. Then they came back, and all of a sudden they started winning some games. So you have to pair them just like Draymond. You put Draymond on the Philadelphia 76ers, what do you think you get from him?
True.
Yeah, so it's a tough one. 4:16, time to check out the International Sportsman's Expo now through Sunday at Cal Expo.
All right, we're going to change gears here. We were promising him at 5 sooner than is better. Let's get him on right now. Garrett Temple joining us right now here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Jason Ross in for Grant. Of course, Doug Christie here. And, Garrett, we got to start with the news that we've been talking about a lot. A fallen teammate there, Rudy Gay, gets injured last night, and nobody likes to see that. Can you take us into the locker room, though, for that few minutes afterwards when everybody was fearing the worst for Rudy Gay?
Yeah. Well, we had heard rumblings throughout the second half of the game, throughout the fourth quarter, and then when we went back, most guys checked on him right when we walked out, off the court, and he had a towel on his head, you know, and it was just a somber moment, man. We knew he'd be out for a while, not knowing exactly what the diagnosis would be, and then obviously finding out today. You know, Rudy reached out to everybody and told us to continue playing, that we're a playoff team, and you know, that he's gonna bounce back from this. So but last night was definitely a somber moment. You know, you hate to see a guy go down, especially a guy with the character like Rudy.
Yeah, a tough one, man. I'm glad to hear that he reached out, Temp, because that lets you know that he's in good spirits and hopefully he bounces back and attacks his therapy and surgery and everything the same way that he goes about his game, because one heck of a guy and a heck of a player at the same time.
Exactly.
Yes. Looking at last night, I was just talking to Jay Ross. There was a moment, 6:55, Nate McMillan gets a technical in the third, and then George gets one at 4:42, and the game just kind of started changing. The first 6 minutes, I find that interesting at 6:55, because the first 6 minutes, I always thought of the third quarter, especially when you have a lead, Temp. That's the time when you step on the gas. What was the mindset coming out of the locker room?
The mindset was actually to do just that, step on the gas, understand that this team, you know, they've been traveling a few days, and, you know, we got a good lead. We played well in the first half. We needed to capitalize on it. Mm-hmm. As of late, we haven't been playing two halves. So we wanted to come out in the second half and step on the gas. We weren't able to do that, though. We didn't do it. We came out a little lackluster. You know, they weren't playing great, but we were playing we weren't playing great as well. And I think it just carried over into the end of the third and the beginning of the fourth, where we just continued, the lead kept dwindling, and eventually they won it.
You know, Tim, when I look at whether it's a start or it's the start of the third quarter, I've been on some really bad teams, and what I always attributed it to was guys were jacking around in warm-ups and they didn't have that sweat going and they weren't ready to jump on it. Could that be what's going on, or it just happened to be what happened?
It could be. I wouldn't say at the beginning of the game, you know, we usually have guys usually take warm-ups pretty seriously. Mm-hmm. In terms of layup lines and things like that. The second half, we haven't been doing any layup lines that we were doing at the beginning of the season. But there's been games where we've come back in the third and played great, you know, without doing a layup line. So I honestly wouldn't attribute it to that as much as just the mindset. Now, if the only way you can get into that mindset is to, you know, get a good workout and get a good 2-3 minutes of, you know, hard work in right before the half starts, then
right,
maybe that's what you should be doing. But, you know, I don't think if you don't get some layups in that you won't have the right mindset. I think it's just a matter of, you know, personally being ready and as a team collectively coming out and having that mindset of playing.
You know, Garrett, you've been a professional your entire career, and certainly here, whether you've started, whether you've come off the bench, you were starting. Last night you didn't. I don't want to ask how difficult is that, but do you even have an idea, like, tomorrow when the road trip begins, if you're starting or not? Because this seems like it fluctuates a lot right now.
Yeah. It's not, honestly, I can answer, even though you didn't ask. It's not difficult for me because of the situations that I've been in throughout my whole career. There have been situations where I played 2 minutes one game, and then the next game I played 35. So, you know, I'm just the type of guy that's grateful of, you know, having, you know, being an NBA playing this game I love. And then, you know, being able to contribute to a team. But as far as the rotation, obviously things are going to be different, you know, coming up with Rudy being out. But I don't know as of now exactly who's going to be the starter. You know, Coach Yeager's the type of coach that likes to decide usually more times than not game days, and, you know, whether he wants to go with a certain lineup or not, depending on who we play against. So, you know, I don't know exactly, but I know when I do get in the game, I know what's expected of me.
Have you guys talked at all about the fast break points and how things are going right now? Because in the homestand, I don't know, it was about 4-1 or something like that.
At least.
Last night it was 26-7. And a lot of times, whether it's getting back, but even not so much the other team, because 26 isn't a crazy number, a little bit, but for you guys to not be able to use home court and get out, because a lot of times, Garrett, as you know, that's how you get your team, your fans involved, by getting out in the open court and getting some layups. Does it alarm you at all that you guys aren't getting any easy buckets like that?
Yeah, it does. It does. You know, because of the type of team we have in terms of the point guards we have, Ty and Darren, it alarms us. But, you know, with having DeMarcus, he's not a in-the-end running big man. So we're going to play through him. But it's a matter of us getting stops and turning teams over. We haven't turned teams over as much as we were doing in the past. And I think that has a lot to do with it. In terms of their fast break points, our turnovers have been us turning the ball over. We've been turning it over at a much higher rate, which is not good. Now, you know, the one good thing about that is we are trying to share the ball a little more. But we have to be cognizant of what type of passes we make and not let it lead into, you know, fast break for the team. So, but we have talked about that in our last practice. We, you know, Coach definitely mentioned that, and that's something that we definitely have to fix if we want to get on the roll.
Garrett, as we look at a very difficult road trip coming up, do you look at the entirety of the trip? With goals in mind there, or is it strictly, hey, we've got Memphis first, and that's all that's on your mind?
I mean, I think you look at the entirety from an outset, but at the end of the day, you know, when you go into a game, it's all about that one game at that point. You know, Memphis came off a loss. We've won here before. It's a team that we've played twice now, and we have a pretty – our coaching staff obviously knows them very well. So, you have to win the first one if you want to win all of them. So, it's all about the first game. And, we're going to try to come out tomorrow and do things that we did in the first game here to try to get that win. And I think Rudy was out in the first game here, if I'm not mistaken, and we were able to get a win. So, that is a silver lining in terms of us knowing that we can win here without our second leading scorer.
Both you and Anthony Tolliver came off the bench last night. In the last, I believe it was four games, both of you guys have started. And we kind of referenced this a little bit earlier. But as I look at it, I know that it's a different mentality sometimes coming off the bench, meaning that you're going to play with different people. Is there a different aggressiveness, meaning that last night you guys shot even a good percentage, but only 5 and 9 points? And in the other games, there was kind of that 11, 14, 16. So do you reel it back a little bit, or what's your mindset when you're coming in and you're playing off the bench?
The only difference is the people I'm playing with.
Uh-huh.
I think the one game was against Golden State, I played a lot of minutes, but other than that, I think I was playing around the 28, 30 minute mark, whether I was starting or not. So it's just a matter of who I'm playing with and understanding where I'm gonna get my shots. I enjoy coming off the bench. You know, I think our second unit throughout the season has had a pretty good chemistry, mm-hmm. offensively and defensively. If we're able to get Ty back, I don't mind coming off the bench at all. And me and AT have a pretty good rapport with each other as well on the court. So yeah. I don't want to speak for him, but I'm assuming he's the same way in terms of it's different in terms of the shots you're going to get. Whether you're playing with the first group or the second group.
King's Garrett Temple with us here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Garrett, Doug and I were just debating something that really I don't even know the right answer, but I'll ask you. There's two all-star guards that made it in the West as starters, for what it's worth. It was Steph Curry and James Harden. That means Russell Westbrook was left out. But if you had to pick between those three to pick two, who would you pick as starters?
I'd have to pick Russell Westbrook and James Harden, the two, in my opinion, MVP candidates this year. I honestly don't know how you can leave a guy that's averaging a triple-double off the list, and it's not a regular triple-double. It's a 31,
hey, 10, it's 11 a man one.
Garrett, there's a caller out there listening to you right now, and I want him to know that you know what the heck you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just his usage rate is high, and the team is a playoff contender now. If they had our record, or if they were 10th in the standings instead of 6th or 7th, whatever they are,
right?
Then you'd have he's getting numbers, they're not winning. But the team is, 6 games over 500 or something like that and in the playoffs. I don't see how you can leave that guy off. So I thought it was a done deal. It's going to be him and James.
Yeah. Maybe they left him off. Did you happen to see his travel last night? Possibly the worst travel in the history of the NBA. Did you get a chance to see that on replay?
I did see it on replay. And at first, I thought something was wrong with my TV. But he took 6 steps.
Just casually.
Hey, Gary, that's old playground basketball. You talking to somebody on the side. Man, why don't you be quiet and shut up, man? You ain't even playing right now. And then you start dribbling.
3, 6 steps? Maybe three before you dribble. 6? Come on now.
Yeah.
And then first of all, my question is, why did it take the referee so long to call it? After the fourth step, for sure, you should call travel, not after that.
Yeah, it looked like he was going to let it slide, I think. I'm not sure. As you guys attack this road trip, how important is the first win? I know it's kind of, but more to our fans. I know getting out on the road and trying to get that first one underneath your belt, how important is that for you guys?
I think it's important for us. With what's happened, 8 games is a lot of games, so obviously one game won't define it. But you'd love to get that first win and get that momentum going. It'd be a big positive for us, especially after losing Rudy. And understanding that we need to get a string of wins together. So, like I said, you can't win them all without winning the first one. And getting that first one tomorrow would be real big for us.
It'd be huge. See if you can get a second win in Memphis. That was probably the best win of the year. Garrett, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck on the trip.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me, y'all.
Have a good one.
All right, that's Garrett Temple. You can join the conversation and follow us on social media as well for the latest updates from all of our shows, breaking news and posts from all of our KHDK hosts on Twitter at Sports1140KHDK, Facebook, like our Facebook page, Sports1140KHDK, Instagram, follow us at Sports1140KHDK. Again, thanks to Garrett Temple for joining us. All right.
And validating my point to the caller out there. All up in you. That was an NBA player.
How do you leave a guy averaging a man's triple-double two, not just a, 10, 10, and 10. It's a big one. All right. Las Vegas Raiders, could it be?
Oh,
man.
That doesn't even sound right.
It doesn't sound right. We'll discuss that. The Raiders filing their papers for Vegas. That's next here on KHDK. Back here on the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie, Jason Ross in for Grant. Grant, of course, off on this 8-game road trip that starts tomorrow. Our thanks
playing hooky.
Yeah, that's probably more of the reality. Is he, where are they? Memphis? Nah.
Getting where's Waldo? Where's Grant? Are you, Grant?
Getting some barbecue out there. Oh, who knows what he's doing?
Oh, yeah.
Beale Street, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he is, man. Good stuff. And watching those ducks walk through the lobby.
That's right.
That's right.
I remember the first time I went to there, I'm like, what are you talking about? But that's a thing there. And I forget what hotel that is. But
that is the Peabody.
That's right.
Yes.
And then the ducks just. Yeah.
They have their own time. Everything stops.
Yep.
And it is a. First time I saw it, I just
I'm like, what am I looking at?
What the hell is going on here, man? We can't use the elevator right now.
Yeah.
What's going on? Oh, here comes a bunch of mallards.
Yeah.
Right through the lobby.
And everybody knew it. I'm like, why do I not know this?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on here?
No doubt.
Yeah, strange things, but hopefully the Kings will be able to sort some things out for the start of the road trip tomorrow. It will be a difficult one. We'll kind of evaluate this team at the halfway point coming up. But some more news today, Doug. NFL-wise, the Raiders have filed their paperwork for relocation to Las Vegas. Of course, it doesn't mean 100% that they're gone, but an indication, and it's not a surprise, but still when you hear it, it hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does for Raider fans. I'm just like, ugh. You know, and you don't call them, you, just like the Los Angeles, Oakland, you're just going to have to call them the Raiders from now on.
Yeah.
And the weird thing, you and I were talking off air, is the fact that they probably won't move for 2 years maybe. So, you know, it's the guy, he just broke up with his girlfriend, but you still got to live in the house, and you
that
got a new girlfriend.
Yeah.
It could get a little bit awkward, just saying. Or maybe she got a boyfriend. How about that?
Well, in their benefit, because that could be disastrous, but what it might work, the team's good. And they should be good for a while.
Yes.
Should be.
Right. Which then is, because a really good fan base, Raider fans,
they
passionate, they come out strong. So you would think that they are going to come out and support the team, whether they're in Oakland or Las Vegas, or if they, just from bad blood, could that maybe make a move to play someplace else?
Yeah.
Like, we don't want you here anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, and if you think about the Oakland area, it's going potentially here from, the Warriors broke ground.
Yep.
They're going to, after this season, then two more at Oracle, and then they'll be in San Francisco. The A's have always been fluctuating, but you could have from the East Bay having three teams to maybe just the A's.
Yeah, and depending on what happens with that, but the mayor seems like they've dedicated themselves more to the A's because of the 81 games as opposed to the Raiders. Now, there's a point, looking at the Oakland East Bay fan base, the Warriors are super good.
Mm-hmm.
So they're selling out, even though people know that they're about to move across the water and they're going to be in San Francisco. So could that happen? Now you are moving states with the Raiders.
Right.
Could that still happen? Because they are good as well.
Yeah, and I know, on the show I'm on every day, The Lowdown with Damien and Ken, we've had plenty of people call up and say, oh, no, I'm a Raider fan. I'd make trips. I'd plan it. I'd go to Vegas. And that's almost like a destination where, I could. But I think the season ticket base is the mystery to me. Will there be people from Las Vegas, a city that has so many other things? And then if you live there, it's kind of like anything. I remember as a kid, we used to lived in Palos Verdes. We lived right by Marineland.
Yeah.
Like, how often do you go? I never went. I mean, it was It was
Space Needle in Seattle.
Yeah. It's like, well, you might take some friends or maybe, but other than that, it's like, I've been. Why do I go again?
Yeah. You're thinking, I don't know. I never went until I got drafted by the Sonics.
And that's when you went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there was an area down low where there was a lot of amusements. I went there, but just never felt it.
Yeah. So I wonder what the Vegas people, like the residents, the people that are there every day, will they be like, yes, the Raiders are coming? Or is it, and maybe it's like any slice of things where here, there's people that are diehard Kings fans, others that probably don't care.
Well, you know, I'm being a little judgmental here, but Raiders fans are built for Vegas.
Yeah, that's true.
Uh-huh. I'm just saying.
If there's anything that makes sense, because honestly, I think their best, not their best fit, Los Angeles would have done wonders if the Raiders went there.
Yes.
Chargers don't make a whole lot of sense to me. The Rams, there's some history, but the Raiders would have fit right back in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Raiders fans are thick in Los Angeles.
Yes.
But they travel well, and if there is a city that besides Los Angeles, Las Vegas kind of fits. I mean, they're costumed out. They are rocking and running. It looks like Halloween, and they are having a great time.
Yeah. Like, it's just, you know, people see the schedule. Oh, that's the trip I'll go. We'll go to Vegas, bring some buddies. And
I mean, if you're going to go, what is it?
Especially with
eight times a year?
Yeah.
And it's not usually, you know, they a couple back-to-back home games, huh?
They can sometimes, yeah.
So, you know, that's not crazy, but you got to think it's, I think Grant said, figure a grand.
For the trip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Figure grand. So if you're going to go eight times, you know, if you're going to dedicate eight
that's
grand.
The money. Yeah.
You know.
That's a fan.
Season tickets?
Yeah.
Something like that, yes.
What it'll be telling is, and they'll do research on this, the people that leave the L.A. area to go watch them. Not even watch the Rams or the Chargers, but drive the 4 hours.
Man, Rams and Chargers, they're going to have it tough, man.
Yeah, they are.
We were talking, whoever comes up with winning earliest, that's who's going to get the fan base. It's 4:45, time to check out International Sportsman's Expo now through Sunday at Cal Expo.
All right, we're back with more football discussion. Also, remember, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, much more on the NFL playoffs with NFL national reporter for Yahoo Sports, Eric Adelson. He will join us. That's at 5:30 here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Jason Ross in for Grant. It's the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. One other name, too, by the way, football-wise, out of the GM search, Elliot Wolf. He's the young, he's 34-year-old from the Packers ties there, has removed his name from the 49ers GM search. Are you, you know, by all accounts, it's going to be Kyle Shanahan, but it's weird that the GM's not done. I don't like that practice, that thought process, Doug, of coach before the GM. It can work. I'm not saying it can't, but I don't know. I don't like the thought.
Yeah, it just, you know, what's the direction? You're right. It can work, but you got your owner, then you got your GM, then you got your coach. That's usually, and philosophically, you want to be able to have a synergy between the two of them. And a lot of times, if you do coach first, it just seems that it doesn't work, and we've experienced it here with Sacramento, as opposed to systematically saying, what does the GM want? Now I'm going to pick a coach that goes with that style. Now we both are on the same page, so when we select players and we watch players and we create a synergy between each other, it works.
No matter the sport, if I gave you one of the three, owner, GM, or coach, one of them is great. What would you pick? The GM, coach, or owner?
Ooh.
For your team success.
I would probably go owner.
Really?
Yeah, because it starts there, because then the owner's going to select the GM.
True.
And
true.
Then the owner's going to help select the coach. See, I'm going billionaire, I guess, huh?
Yeah. But I would have thought you would have said GM, even though coaches have been a big part of your life.
Yes, but the key is, they set the cornerstone. The owners establish what is going to go on. That is an interesting one, though, because does the owner step out of the way and allow the general manager to do their job? And then does the GM step out of the way and allow the coach to, you know, but look at how that goes. It goes bang, bang, bang down. And that's why I say probably the owner.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines here. Again, next hour, more football. Also, NBA All-Star starters were announced. We'll go over that as well. Mark joining us next on KHTK. Hey, Mark.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just real quick, though, you know, Oakland, the baseball team is ripe for the picking right now. Maybe be a good time for West Sacramento and Sacramento to possibly bring the Oakland A's here.
There you go.
This is a baseball town. It's always been a baseball town.
That would be awesome.
Hey, what I really called in to talk about is, you know, Grant talks about it all the time. Doug, you've talked about it just today. Jason, you've talked about it on your show. You've always said what this league is driven by. And what amazes me with this team, the Sacramento Kings, is that they're going to put all their eggs in one basket and build their team around a center instead of trying to bring in an elite point guard. And the reason why I say this is because when you strap this team with $200 million and you've got the dynamics of DeMarcus Cousins and trying to bring an elite guard in this, and you've told the nation that this is his team and that no matter what this guy does on the court or off the court, that nothing's going to change, I think you're going to have a hard time bringing anybody here with this guy still on the team. Now, Doug, you're going to think different.
No, actually, Mark, the only thing that I'm going to say, actually, you're not right there, Mark. The only thing that I'm going to say is you have to establish that, no, it's not going to be whatever you want to do. We're going to set a standard. This is how things are going to be run. This is the system. And this, did you see Mike Tomlin and how he handled that situation? That's how things have to be run to make sure that systematically and as an organization going forward, because you have an incredible talent, but you got to make sure that that incredible talent is going along with the direction of what things. So not so much, okay. But go ahead, Mark.
Okay. All right. Well, they're telling us that this guy is the face of the franchise. Are you seeing some of the quotes that's being quoted on Twitter from Jason Jones? From DeMarcus after these games? I mean, some of the language that's being used, and I'm not being a prude here,
okay.
But you know what? If you're going to be the face of the franchise and, you know, you're going to basically tell everybody that he is, look at some of the quotes.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I'm assuming he's talking about some language. I don't know. I don't know that that's a deal breaker per se, but
yeah.
I mean, I guess I know where he's kind of going there, but
I didn't see any quotes that alarmed me.
Yeah.
And I follow Jason Jones.
Yeah. And you've heard you guys play this stuff on Comcast as well.
Yeah. And there needs to be a pecking order. There's a lot of different things, in my opinion, that need to be established now as we continue to go forward.
But can you change it? Is it like a parent that, hey, I've parented this way, but now you're 14 and this is the way it's going to go? Wait, you didn't do that from 10 to 14.
I think... Yes, and okay. The reason I say that is because I look at a guy, like I mentioned, Mike Tomlin, and I also would say Popovich. Popovich gets guys in there, and this is the way it's going. And if it's not going that way, guess what? You're not here, and we're going to get people in here that are going to do it that way. And you start with an incredible talent, and you have to mold them and show them. So to your point, can it be done? Yeah, it can be done, but are you willing to go through it with that teenager,
mm-hmm.
if you want to use that, because it's not always easy, and it's not always a big pile of bliss. There are technicals and different things that go on. But in my opinion, there is a way to establish what you need to do. Has it been done? No. And that's where I say a lot of people say you're giving excuses, but you've had six different parents in here and grandparents. You've had a couple. And, you know, just using that as an example, where you really have to establish an organizational and a foundation that is going to be conducive not only to winning but to doing it the right way.
A lot of work still to do. The Kings have played half the season. How are they looking at the halfway point? What do they do now that Rudy Gay is out? And Eric Adelson, NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, joins us at 5:30. Much more of the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie, Jason Ross, in for Grant here on Sports 1140 KHDK.